We're going to be starting a new series today as we begin this new year, and this series is called New Beginnings. As we move into our new season as a church, we'll talk about new beginnings and new beginnings in God. Sometimes God works in seasons, you know, and that's great. So we just have to be aware of what God's doing. Amen. We'll look a little bit about the Israelites' journey into the Promised Land. Thank you, that's so kind. Thank you. So I want to talk a bit about Israelites' journey into the Promised Land and just some things that we can learn and some stuff that Paul says, the Apostle Paul says as well, and what we can learn from that. So this series is called New Beginnings, so we're going to be talking about this over the next few weeks. Okay, so let's have a look at Joshua 4, chapter 1 to 9. It says this. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, remember it was Joshua who ended up leading the Israelites into the Promised Land. Was it Moses kind of got them to the edge of the Promised Land? It was Joshua that led them in. Anyway, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe. Remember, there's 12 tribes of Israel. And tell them to take up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan from right where the priests are standing and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. They probably aren't there to this day now, but it was true, you know, true when this was written. They were still there. Okay, so it's interesting what happens here. The Israelites are on the verge of going into the Promised Land. Remember being led by Joshua into the Promised Land, and they had to cross the river. And obviously, there'd be a whole load of miracles, and here was kind of another one where they had to cross the River Jordan. If you know the story, God does another miracle. He makes the Jordan basically dry up, a bit like he did with the Red Sea, and they're miraculously able to cross it. But then what he tells them to do here, just as they go into the Promised Land, to almost like set up a memorial, just to remind them about what God has done and where God has brought them from. So to get a kind of a collection of stones, I'm guessing these weren't like little pebbles. These weren't like 12 little pebbles, because like that's going to wash away within seconds, right? There's like 12 big stones, presumably. And I kind of like to put them in a heap. And it was to remind them about where God had brought them from and about where they were going to. So in the future, when they thought about it, or when their children asked them, their descendants asked them, what are these stones here for? What are these big stones for? They could say, yeah, that's because of what God has done. This is where God has brought us from. We're remembering what he's done. They're like memorial stones in that sense. So they set up stones in the River Jordan to remind them of what God had done as they stepped into the next season. And I felt a bit like that's what we're doing today as a church. Is we're reminding ourselves of all that God has done whilst we've been in this building. Almost like setting up memorial stones as we step into our new season. So we haven't got any big rocks. We're not going to leave any big rocks on the stage. School may not appreciate that. Okay. But we're just reminding ourselves of all that God has done. Amen? As we step into our next season. You know, myself and Wendy, we're so thankful for all that God has done over the last almost 15 years since we've been a congregation as Family Church Waterside. Myself, we've led it since July 2011. Started in March, we've led it since July 2011. We're so thankful for all that God has done. So thankful for every single one of you. So thankful for all the teams. We're so thankful just for who you are. And, you know, and every miracle that we've seen and every new person that we've seen saved and baptized and set free. And we're just so thankful. So today we can look back on that and say, God, what you've done has been absolutely amazing. We're so, so thankful. We're just like setting up these memorial stones today so we can look back and say, God, look what you have done. Just remind ourselves what he has done. Amen? We're so thankful for all of you, as I said. And in March, on Sunday, the 22nd of March, we're going to have a big, it's the first time I mentioned this, we're going to have a big celebration because it's going to be our 15th birthday. Very exciting. So that'll be on Sunday, the 22nd of March. We'll be celebrating, we'll have a service and stuff, but we're celebrating that morning. So that's going to be awesome. If you're around, like pre-COVID, you remember that our 10th birthday, that whole thing got scuppered. Do you remember that? If you were around at the time, our 10th birthday in March, something happened in March 2020. Do you remember that? Well, the world changed a little bit, didn't it? For 18 months, at least. So our 10th birthday celebration never happened in the end. But we're going to have a big 15th celebration on 22nd of March this year. So that's going to be awesome. Just thanking God for all that he has done. Amen. So here at our final service here, that's what we're doing here. You know, thankful for the use of this building, and thankful for the school. And the school, we've had our challenges sometimes, but the school have been very, very good to us. The caretaker's been amazing. We have got a gift for the caretaker, by the way, in case you're wondering that. If you know Matt, the caretaker, you might be wondering, well, why don't we just get him up the front and give him a big round of applause? That would be like Matt's worst nightmare. If you know Matt, the caretaker, he would really not appreciate that. Okay, so we're not going to do that. We're going to drag him in here and cheer him. But we have got a gift for him, just so you know that. And Matt, amazingly, has done every single time we've been here. It's been the same caretaker, Matt. He only works weekends, but he's been amazing. Got a great, great heart and stuff. So, awesome. So if you see him as well, thank him as well. We have got a gift for him, just so you know. You know, and we've been a very nomadic kind of church over the years. You know, over the last 15 years, we've actually hired 15 different buildings in that time. You know, as teams, you've just been absolutely amazing, incredible, making those things happen, adapting, you know, kind of all sorts of crazy things that happen, like snow days, and you know, the water doesn't work, and I don't know, the heating doesn't work, or you know, the kids' church rooms are freezing, or you know, we just had to adapt to that. Remember, we've had no water. The water was come out yellow. Don't you remember that? We had yellow water, yellow drinking water. But all sorts of interesting challenges over the years. The roof over there caught fire. Remember that one Sunday? The fire brigade turned up and delayed the service. So we had all sorts of challenges. Fire alarm went off. That was at Applemore. If you remember, you were around at our Applemore days, the fire alarm went off. One Sunday on our My Church Sunday after their fun day the day before, she had tons of visitors, and it kind of like 11:55, we all like disappeared. So it was interesting, and we found out that we set it off. It was our fault, anyway. been lots of challenges over the years, but as teams, you've been absolutely amazing, at just making things happen, and we're all doing it for the glory of God, right? This is why we deal with this. We don't just want people to be. Myself and Wendy, we don't want people to feel worked into the ground. We feel, you know, for the church is a chore. I think that's sad if anyone ever has that mentality, because that's not something that we would ever want. But we're all doing this for the glory of God, right? That's why we do. That's why people get here early, and this morning people would have been getting here at 8:30, and the worship would have been getting here at 8:30 and have done that faithfully for years, and the setup team and others and all of you who helped clear up afterwards, and amazing. So. In the last 15 years, we've hired 15 different venues. Do you want to know what they all were? I can tell you. So we hired Applemore School. So we were there for 7 years or so. Obviously, this building has been here since September 2017. So it's about 8.5 years. We've hired Waterside Sports and Social Club, which is now demolished. It no longer even exists. That one. We've hired Hythe United Reformed Church, Cornerstone. We've hired Hythe and Dibden Parish Hall. The Bold Forester in Marchwood, hired. Hythe and Dibden Community Centre. The WI Hall in Dibden Purdue. Exbury Gardens Cafe, of all places. Oh, that's very posh. That was for ladies' breakfast, isn't it? That's the posh ladies' breakfast. Clayfield Sports Centre in Dibden. That's where Hythe and Dibden Football Club play now. St John's Hall in Hythe. The church rooms at Colby Church, that's where we did men's and ladies' breakfast, remember? Hired St Anne's Church on Netley View. We've had offices in Hythe and offices on Hardley Industrial Estate. So it's 15 venues in total to make everything happen. So, teams, you've just been, I keep said it once, but I'll keep on saying, you've been absolutely amazing. how we've made that happen logistically is incredible. So well done. Praise God. It's quite scary actually when you look back and it's like, oh man, how do we do that? Anyway, but we did. So praise God. So we're kind of putting memorial stones down today saying, thank you, God, for all that you've done. But we're excited about the new season. Amen. And remember the Israelites, they were going into a really exciting season. They weren't like being obsessed about the past. They were just putting these stones up to remind them they were about to go into the promised land. But they're putting these stones up to remind them of what God had done. And what I want to actually do, just the rest of this message, just return to the final message that I gave at our very last venue, which was Applemore College. So some of this is thoughts I shared on the 3rd of September 2017, so that's almost 8.5 years ago, for our final service at Applemore. I just want to turn to some of these thoughts, because I think they're still so relevant to today. So I don't often regurgitate old messages, very, very rarely, but some of these thoughts I really want to share today, because I believe they're just so relevant to what God's doing next. So God is doing a new thing, and Steve mentioned this right at the beginning, as I said, he didn't know what I was going to share. But Isaiah 43:18-19, so we heard it earlier. So forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. So as we're putting these memorial stones down, we're not being obsessed about the past. We're not just being, and some too many churches, they get obsessed about the past, about what God did 20, 50, 100 years ago. It's like, well, yeah, but what is great, but what does God want to do today? Right, so we're never going to get stuck in the past. That's not helpful at all. But we do remember the past, okay? Although it says forget the former things, it doesn't mean literally don't think about them at all. It just means don't get stuck in it. Anyway, verse 19. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God is making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So that speaks of life. Amen? To find a way in the wilderness where there's been wastelands to bring. Where it's a wasteland is a place of death, right? Where nothing lives. But God brings streams in the wasteland, the streams of his Holy Spirit that bring life. We see that, we can read about that in Ezekiel and about the river of God and how everywhere the river of God goes, it brings life. Amen? And that's what God does. In a place that can seem desolate, seem spiritually like a wasteland, God brings life. Amen? Isaiah then writes, it springs up, do you not perceive it? No, we need to perceive what God is doing. That's my question to you this morning. Are we perceiving what God is doing as we go into our new season? Are we understanding what God is wanting to do in us and through us, in our individual lives and in us as a church? Amen? Let's be people who perceive and understand. They hear God's voice, what God is doing. Amen? Now, the Apostle Paul talks a lot about this, about just moving forward into all that God has for us. Philippians 3:12-14, a well-known passage, Paul writes this, not that I've already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, remember that's not about just literally just forgetting it completely, because we still thank God for what he's done in our lives and for the past, as we set up these memorial stones, just thanking him for what he's done. Okay, but we don't get stuck in the past. Again, that's what Paul's talking about. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Verse 14, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So I just want to develop this just for a few minutes, a little bit more. You know, God is wanting us to always be moving forward in him. That's true in our individual lives, in our family lives. And that's true for us in church life. Amen? God is always moving forward. Everyone agree? God is always moving. He's always doing something. Amen? And of course, we're moving forward as a church as we start Power Center Wardside next week. It's us moving forward as a church. Amen? Into our next season and what God has for us. And Paul gives a great example to us of continually pressing on towards the goal. What's God got next? What does God want to do next? You know, Paul himself, he had to press through some very difficult circumstances. If you understand Paul's life, looking at you, Paul, when I said that, I'm talking specifically about you. You might face some difficult circumstances, I'm sure you have. Anyway, we all do, right? But Paul was facing some real difficult circumstances, the Apostle Paul, but he continually pressed on into all that God had for him. Amen? So that's the attitude that we need to have, to continue press on to all that God has for us as a church and desires to do in us and through us. Everyone agree? Amen. So in Greek, in, of course, it was written in Greek originally. The word press is called dioko. Dioko. That's translated as press, but D-I-O-K-O. Dioko. And what it can mean, sometimes you have to look back at the Greek, as we do, because you have to really understand what it means, because English doesn't always do justice to what was originally written. So the word press, when Paul talked about pressing on, it can mean to hasten, to run, to drive away, to run after, to pursue, to strive for, or to seek after. Okay, so it can mean all of those things. When Paul talks about pressing on towards the goal, to press, to hasten, to run, to drive away, to run after, pursue, strive for, or seek after. So Paul had all of those thoughts in his head when he was talking about pressing on towards the goal. You know, what's interesting about that is every meaning is an action word. Everyone agree, right? If you press or you run or you drive away, you run after or pursue or strive for, they're all action words, right? All verbs, as we call them in English. Action words, right? And God expects action from us, right? God's not being unreasonable when he expects action from us. He expects action in our individual lives. He expects action in our church lives. Now, God doesn't expect us to be laid back about his purposes for us. You know, this is not judging in any way. It's just an observation as a pastor. Too many Christians are just so laid back about the purposes of God in their lives. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a laid-back character, a laid-back personality. That's fine. That's just the way God created you. But I'm talking about being so, almost like just, you know, so laid-back about what God wants to do in their lives, they don't ever go anywhere. Does that make sense? You know, maybe you've seen that in others, or maybe that's been a reality in your own life, so there's no judgment here. But let's never be in that place. God is a God of action. He's always wanting us to move forward in him and to move forward as a church. Amen? To be Christians who, and I've talked about this before, this would be a whole message in itself, but not to be Christians who are proactive, not to be Christians that are reactive, but to be Christians that are proactive. There's a huge difference between those two things. Too many Christians, they just react to the circumstances in their life, are very reactionary. Whereas God wants us to be proactive, trusting him in every situation. You know, what Jesus talked about, you know, building our life, didn't he? He said, if you hear my words and put them into practice, it's like a man who builds his life upon a rock. We need to be proactive. So when the wind and the storms come, your life doesn't collapse. That makes sense, right? That's an example of being proactive. Whereas reactive people, they just react to what's going on in their lives and then have a whole load of issues often. So let's go back to verse 12 of Philippians 3. Not that I've already obtained all this or already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So we saw all those different meanings. So I press on. I run after. This is what Paul was saying. I pursue. I drive after. I strive for the goal. Paul talks about, in verse 13, talks about straining what is ahead. Now, I believe this is a specific word for some people here this morning for your individual lives and your relationship with God. I just want to encourage you just to keep pressing forward into the future. Keep pressing forward into what God has for you. Don't allow circumstances to discourage you. I know that's easy for me to say because you might be going through some real difficult stuff. But as I said, remember, Paul was going through some incredibly difficult stuff. You know, and the things that he faced and was heavily persecuted and shipwrecked and beaten and all sorts of stuff that he had to endure for the gospel, but he could still say, I press on towards the goal. Amen? And it's kind of like this image about pushing forward in God. It makes me think of marching forward into the future a bit like how an army marches into the future. You know, as a church, we are a spiritual army. Everyone agree? Right? It's one of the pictures that the Bible has. Amen? And of course, there are lots of pictures of the church being a body, being a family with a bride of Christ, but an army is also one of them. So when you have this picture in your mind, we've got a little picture we'll go on screen in a minute. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 4, Paul writes this, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds. So spiritually, we are an army. We're talking about different weapons here. We're not talking about conventional weapons. We're not talking about, you know, bombs and all that kind of stuff. We're talking about the spiritual. You know, we're part of a spiritual army. Amen. Right? We don't wage war as the world does, as Paul tells us. weapons we fight with are completely different. We know that what's going on in this world is actually, there's a much much deeper underlying spirituality to everything that's going on our planet, right? What is unseen is far more real than what is seen, is what the Bible says, right? But we're a spiritual army. Sorry, I just had to grab a drink. Long way over there. Anyway, so I wanted to have this picture just in your mind of a spiritual army moving forward. And you know the way the Israelites, they marched in the Old Testament, moving the tabernacle from place to place, they would do that depending on where God was leading them. We see this in Numbers 9, 15 to 18. Obviously, we looked earlier about how them crossing the Jordan and setting up these memorial stones, but you also see how they just continually moved as God led them. Numbers 9, verse 15 says, "On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant law was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night, it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped." So they were just clearly just led by God and just on this journey together and marching together as a spiritual army. And eventually, of course, they march into the promised land, as we looked at earlier. So we need to have the same picture. If you can put this picture on the screen, our projector here is terrible. So we're going to have a great image next week. Awesome. So we have no control over the projector here as to how bright it is. Anyway, hopefully you can all see that. Of a marching army. So I just want you to have this kind of like picture in your mind. As a marching army into the journey into our promised land as a church and all that God has for us next. Amen? We continue moving on in God. Now, I don't know if you like football or not, so don't switch off if you don't, okay? It's still relevant to you, hopefully. You know, our local club, of course, is Southampton, just down the road. Lovely. Big Saints fans of the Bull family. We're big Saints fans in our family. Well, me and Jack are. Wendy and Lisa kind of endure it, rather enjoy it. Anyway, me and Jack are big Saints fans. Anyway, but of course, if you know the history of Saints, you'll know that originally they were a church team. And they originally called St. Mary's FC. Then their name was changed to Southampton St. Mary's. You know St. Mary's Church in Southampton. That's where the church, that's where the team started. It's right near the stadium. And about half a mile away, where the stadium isn't now. So they were St. Mary's FC, then it was Southampton St. Mary's, and it got changed originally to Southampton FC. So that's where the whole thing of them is called the Saints, and why their song is "O Win the Saints," which is a Christian song, of course. "O Win the Saints, Go Marching In," is a Christian song, but it's why it's been adopted by Southampton. And kind of one of their taglines at Southampton is "We March, We March On." I've got a Southampton top, and it says on the back, like, "We March On." That's kind of like their strap line. Now, whether that's actually true, if you follow Southampton, whether that's true or not, they've been marching on, been marching down in recent years, rather than marching forward. Anyway, that's been a reality. But I think it is a great mentality to have. It may not have been true for Saints and Southampton, but let it be true for us, that we march on. That we march on. There'd be a great strap line for us as a church, that we just keep on marching on into all that God has for us as a spiritual army together. Where we all have a part to play, there's a part for every single one of us, that we're marching on into all that God has, into our next season. Amen? So today we thank God for all he's done. Over the last 8 years we've been here, and the previous 7 or so years at Applemore College, and all that God's done in all those venues that I mentioned, that we've hired over the years and just made things happen. So we thank God for all he's done. We look back to remember all he's done. We set up almost like those memorial stones, like the Israelites did. So we look back and say, "God, I can see what you've done." And we're so thankful for it. But we don't get stuck in the past. We press on towards the goal that God has for us as a church. As a church, we march on. Amen. As we start at a Power Centre Waterside next week, we march on into all that God has for us. Amen. As Paul said, we press, remember all those meanings. So we march on, we strive after the purposes of God. We run after the purposes of God. We pursue the purposes of God. We pursue God himself. We pursue the presence of God. We pursue all that he wants to do in our lives and through our church. Amen. So let's all carry that picture in our hearts over this next week as we continue with our exciting, really exciting journey. As we march on to the destiny that God has for us. As a church. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, today we look back and we look forward. Lord, we look back and we thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for all you've done, not just in this venue or in Applemore College before that, or Lord, but in all those venues, Lord, that we mentioned earlier. For every life that's been affected, every life, Lord, that's been changed. Lord, for all that you have done. Lord, for every life that's been transformed, for everyone who's joined this church, Lord, for everyone who you've just transformed by the power of the gospel, for every baptism, every healing. Lord, for every child that's come to know you. Lord, we say thank you for what you have done. Lord, you've been amazing. Lord, in it all. Lord, we say thank you. Lord, and we look back and we always put those memorial stones up, and so we can look back in the future and say, God, you were amazing. Look at what you have done. Lord, but at the same time, we do not get stuck in the past. We leave those former things behind, Lord God, because we perceive that you are doing a new thing. Lord, we don't want to be people, Lord, where you're doing something, we're not perceiving it. Lord, we want to understand what you're doing, Lord God. You make a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Lord, I pray, Lord, in this new building, Lord, where we go, Lord God, that you will truly bring streams, Lord, in the wasteland. Lord, in the spiritual desert there is in that area and across the waterside and further afield, Lord, that you will bring streams of your Holy Spirit, Lord, streams of life, Lord, into that place, Lord, streams of hope, Lord, that the power of the gospel, Lord, would start to transform, Lord, that area, transform people's lives. Lord, do what you desire to do, Lord God. It's just an honor, Lord, that we get to be part of it, and Lord, you use us. Lord, use us for your purpose and your glory. Lord, and as Paul says, about the Apostle Paul said about pressing on towards that goal, Lord, we want to do that. We want to press on. We want to strive. We want to run. We want to pursue, Lord, you. We want to pursue the presence of God. We want to pursue the purposes of God. We want to run after you. We want to be a spiritual army, Lord, that marches on into all that you have for us. Lord, I pray there'd be such a unity between us all. Every single person, Lord, will be involved. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, you're so amazing. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to continue to do. Lord, we just commit this future journey to you. Lord, have your way. Lord God, I pray it'll be an incredible Sunday next Sunday. Thank you for what you've ministered to us today. Lord, may this be start with such an exciting journey in you. Lord, you truly are an amazing, amazing God. And we thank you for the provision of the building too, Lord God. Lord, and how you provided in so many ways, Lord God, in the building itself and the finances and to be able to do all the renovation. And Lord, we just say thank you. We thank you that you are our provider. Lord, and we pray for your blessing upon the school here too. We pray for your blessing upon them for the way they've blessed us. We pray a blessing upon Matt, the caretaker, Lord, that he'll just know your hand upon his life, Lord God. And I pray that all these years, Lord, that we've been here, Lord, would have impacted him spiritually. Lord, that he will come to know you. Lord, and all those, Lord, that we're in contact with here, or I'm in contact with here, Lord, the lettings managers and different people, the premises manager and other people, Lord, that I speak to. I pray, Lord, again, our presence, Lord, would have impacted this school. What impact, Lord, those people spiritually for the rest of their lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're an amazing, amazing God. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.